Lord, this morning as we come and we look at your word, as we look at your plan and purpose with our lives this morning, I pray you'd open up our hearts. I pray you'd open up our eyes and our minds to receive your word. I pray, Lord, that your voice would be heard. That you speak into the ashes of our lives and you bring life. You bring hope. You bring promise once again. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the word says that everything works together for the good of us in Jesus Christ. And you know, we find it so hard to walk in the everything. When the circumstances are bombarding us, we feel that we're besieged but not yet broken. But we have this front that we're fighting on. And I want to tell you, it's the battlefield of all time. It's the battlefield of all eternity. And it's between the forces of darkness and the kingdom of light. And you know what? Unfortunately, you might be caught in one or the other. And it's not a place for the weak-hearted. It's very real. But the beauty for us as Christians is we don't have to fight it. We just have to take up our place. And He fights with and through us. And He said, I will go and I will leave a spirit that dwells within you. The spirit in you is that which brings you victory. The spirit in you is that which brings the promise that He has left for us. In Hebrews 11:6, we know that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So this morning I want to look at a declaration of my circumstances don't count. But you see, it's not a place of the flesh. It is a place of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, in these times that we live in, even the planet is groaning. We know in the last 10 years, there have been more natural disasters, earthquakes, famines, tsunamis, volcanoes erupting, than in the last 1,000 years of history. If the planet can feel it, we need to wake up within our spirits and begin to feel the time we're living in. You see, it's a time when this battlefield is increasing. The Bible talks about evil in the end times will abound, but more so God's grace and His favor and His purpose. Andres preached something that I believe is one of the most relevant words for this year last week. And it was Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom. I want to tell you, it doesn't matter what you're worrying about. Doesn't matter what you're praying for. Doesn't matter what you're pressing into. Seek first the kingdom. And then all these things shall be added unto you. You see, we get caught in, I went into a period of my life where it was really a crunch time. Where's God taking me? Do I go into full-time ministry? What am I doing? Where, what, why? And every time that I was in God's presence, it was what and why. And it was all great because it was godly stuff. It was God's direction, God's purpose. Until one day, I think God had had enough. Well, it must have been because the word He said to me was, enough. I said, but hang on, whoa, this is all about you. This is about your plan for my life to honor you. And He says, yes, but it's not about a plan. It's about a relationship. Forget the plan and focus on me. Don't have an agenda to find out what I want. Find me and you will know what I want. Stop seeking about the purpose and the intent and seek the person. And as you seek and find the person, the intent will be crystal clear. You will have no doubt as to what He wants to do and where He's taking you. But you see, we focus too much on our circumstances. We let our circumstances dictate what we can do, where we're positioned, what we'll grasp, what we'll allow our lives to be formed by. Instead of understanding that in Christ we have dominion and power in the earth, on the earth, and under the earth. That means every single realm We have been given authority in Jesus Christ. He is seated at right the hand of the Father. The very same Christ that is in us is seated at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, we are seated at the right hand of the Father with Him because He dwells in us. That is our perspective. That is where we need to begin to seat ourselves and stand and rule and begin to speak down to our circumstances. Begin to speak down on things in our life. Begin to speak down on our flesh, understanding the height and the place we have been raised through in Jesus Christ. You see, God's more interested in our hearts than our circumstances. He sits in timeless eternity and He looks down and He sees the end from the beginning. We get so caught up in the now, the what's happening, that we miss God's plan and purpose. And I want to encourage you this morning, step back from your limitation of your life, of your time span, of your score, 100, score 20. Not many people make it to 120 anymore. But the time we have on earth, what are we focusing on? The time or the preparation for eternity? And I want to tell you, you know, sometimes a prophetic voice isn't the nicest voice to have to hear. Because we all want to hear mushy words. We want to hear, don't worry guys, this year's going to be a breeze. You're going to cruise through it. You're going to jump on your little paddle boat and paddle down the gentle brook and you're going to arrive at your destination at the end of the year. I hate to disillusion you if that's what you're thinking. You see, in the natural, there's going to be a battlefield. In the natural, you're going to have a lot of things you need to overcome. But if we can seek first, if we can find that place where we are so rooted in Christ, it will not matter what your circumstances are. Because your fullness is not in your circumstances. It is in who He is and what He's done for us. Psalm 16, verse 11, declares, "You will make known to me the path of life." Okay, it's not the same version I'm reading from, but all I want you to do is just see that is the scripture there. You know, we need to come and see the word. That's so you can believe I'm reading the word. And you see, the word says as we read it and we understand it, it brings life. So you may know, make known to me the path of life. Your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. How many of you would love pleasures forever? I certainly, my hand's up for that one. Fullness of joy. Wow, yeah, I'd go with that one as well. And yet, we try and seek it in the flesh. We try and seek it in our job. We try and seek it in our marriage. We try and put that pressure on another person to give it back to us. But He says, in your presence is fullness of joy. You see, it's not about the circumstances. It's not about the people. It's about who He is. You can know this is your calling because it's the calling of each of God's people. It is God's will for 2014 that it will be your best year yet. How many of you would declare over 2014, I want it to be my best year yet? Amen. All of us. But you know what the beauty is in Christ? As you surrender yourself to Him more and more, it will be. That's His promise. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope. Plans to guide you into the future. To bring the year of the Lord's favor. But it comes out of resting in Him. And you know what? If 2014 is the best year yet, and you get to know God more, what's 2015 going to be? The best year yet. And as you do it again and grow closer, guess what? 2016 is going to be the best year yet. And as we begin to understand that principle, the more we are in Christ, the better the best year yet becomes. And it's yours for eternity in Him. We have to follow Him. We have to resolve that we're going to fulfill our highest purpose as human beings. And that is to love Him above all else and to love one another with His love. It's really that simple. Those things that divert us from simplicity of devotion to Christ bring pain, they bring confusion, they bring suffering, and they bring fear into our lives. If we place seeking the Lord above all things, as is basic to those who resolve to keep Him their first love, then every major decision we make in our lives will be based on seeking the kingdom first. Every plan, every purpose, every decision will be based on, God, what are you saying? You see, because then we have the Spirit within us. If we're going to go a way that's wrong, the Holy Spirit puts up His hand and says, whoa, turn around, you're going the wrong way. If we're about to sin, it's the Spirit that says, hey, don't do that, that's going to be destructive. Hey, don't do that, that's not my plan. As we draw on Him, we will get to hear His voice so crystally clearly that we will never walk in a place that is wrong for us. Yes, we're going to blow it down again, but the principle of the heart is that we're going to seek to do His will and purpose. In Romans 14, verse 17, we are told His kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you know what the best part of that righteousness is? There's nothing you have done or can do to deserve it. It's all His gift. It's all what He has done for us. Yet the promises that He gives to the righteous are yours, fulfilled in His death on the cross. And man, if you go and look at it in Proverbs, and there's hundreds of scriptures about what that promise and what His righteous will inherit. When we are doing right in the sight of the Lord, that is what leads us to true peace and to true joy. As we proceed in these times, the distinction between those who have built their lives on the kingdom of God and those who have built on the kingdoms of the world will become increasingly apparent. I don't know about you, but I want to be someone that stands out as different. And the only way we can be different is if we're in the space, in a kingdom where we serve and we are with a different God. The Bible talks that the end times will be tough. But you know what? Yes, circumstantially they might be. But in Him, there is a peace, there is a rest. And I want us to really declare that and determine this year, we're going to be standout, different people for Jesus Christ. Those without the peace of God will grow in fear and discord. And it's very sad, and we're seeing it in the times around us. We're seeing it in the people around us. More and more as people that do not know the Lord as Savior, they're getting more rattled, more disturbed, more distressed, more anxious. If you look at it today, the doctors and psychologists are milking it because there are more and more and more people in need. Because they're relying on the natural. They're not plugging into this supernatural help that God has promised. And that comes in the place of seek first the kingdom. Then His peace, His righteousness will be your portion. You see, as this becomes a reality to you, you're going to need to tell those around you, why are you different? What is it in you that gives you that peace? In 1 Peter 3 verse 15, the word tells us to sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is within you. Your peace and joy that you find will be the salvation call to many of your friends and those around you. But what a sad testimony if they never ask you because they never know you have joy and peace. We need to so press into this plan of God's that everyone around you will be all stopping you and asking you, what is it? What have you got? Because I want it too. I see a difference in you. I want it. I see you're in the same circumstances, but I see how you handle it. And I see how you cope. And I see how you keep your joy. That your joy isn't dependent on your circumstances, but it's dependent on this God. I want to know this God because of what I've seen in your life. The Spirit of God can visit us and bring new life to situations which seem improbable, hopeless, or even dead. But I want to tell you this morning, there is a supply that you're not aware of. As we learn to trust Him, we will be taken to a new way of understanding and a new way of provision. In Matthew 17:27, go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that comes up. And when you've opened its mouth, you'll find a shekel. Take it and pay your taxes. What a simple way to financial gain. Go fishing. He doesn't say go out and cast a huge nest and throw in 1,000 lines and hopefully one of the fish will have it. He says go cast one hook and you'll catch a fish which will provide you with the taxes we need. What do you think when you see a fish? Food. Yet Jesus turns it around and says, there is your financial provision. You see, what's difficult for Him? What's impossible for Him? Nothing. So as we begin to learn and trust, not in our hands, not in our abilities, not in our boss, not in our jobs, not in our companies, but in Him, He can bring whatever He chooses through whichever way He deems fit to meet your needs within that circumstance. Even within a fish, there is a supply that we are not even aware of when God is in it. What is in the fish around you that you haven't seen yet? What is in the promise of God's word, of what He says, I will give to you? I believe we're coming into a time where God is going to again revisit our prophetic words and make clear those things that have been spoken over our lives, either through the word or through words spoken over our lives. He's giving us the prophetic revelation we need before we need it. You know, sometimes we're a bit thick and God gives us a word and it flits through our head, and by the time we're in the crisis we realize, hang on, that was the word. I believe God is revealing before time now what we need so that we will be prepared in the time that we need it. Be alert to look again at what He's already said to you in past seasons. He's now refreshing His voice so you can gain the revelation you need now and see a manifestation of grace and promise in your life. There's going to be a release of the supernatural like never before as we draw closer to Him and allow Him to become the fullness of Christ within us. We are seated with Him at the right hand of the Father. As we allow Christ in us to become us, we will take on the attributes and the character of Christ Himself. You see, the scary part about every other religion is all their gods died. And then He says, here's a rule book, try and maintain it, and you will attain whatever you want to attain in it. Jesus was very different. He died, and He rose again. And He lives inside each one of us. When we look at the history books, they are amazed at the power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead. The good news this morning, He dwells in you. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And the more we are at His feet, the more we are in fellowship with Him, the more like Him we become, the more the rest of the world will see that reflected through our lives. We will be able to look at the biggest giant or mountain and say, you are insignificant. You are so little compared to the God inside of me. It will humble any mountain or giant to fall. What mountain or giant will the Lord raise you up to stand on top of in this coming year? What stormy seas will cause you to walk on the waters? Are you a Peter ready to trust God to walk on water even though you might sink? You know what? Yes, Peter sank. But you know what? Peter walked. And as we begin to change our understanding, and I believe even in Peter's case, as I'm pretty sure if he had tried again, he would have got further. And if he had tried again, he would have actually got to a point where he didn't need a boat. But it's about a testing of our faith. Now here were, let's just take a quick look at a picture there. Here were the holy dudes of the hour. These were the boys. These were his disciples. What were the rest doing? Cowering in the boat. And you see, too often we get caught up in the cowering in the boat. And I guarantee you, every one of them the next day thought, if only I had also got out. I bet you every one of them thought that the next day. But you know what? Only one did get out. And he transcended nature and he walked on water with Christ. I really believe this is our time to start walking on water. Wouldn't it be great if we've got a baptism afterwards if we just walked out to the depth we wanted, quickly sunk down, walked back. You see, how much are you prepared to trust him for? How far do you want to go with him? And I want to tell you that the history books don't talk and people don't talk about. Do you see in the Bible Peter sank? They talk about he walked up, he walked on water. The stage is being set for your lives. When it looks like it's impossible for you to win, God is setting the stage for something greater. For many, the stage is just being set. The curtains haven't yet been cracked open. God is still moving behind the scenes to place us front and center. And that's why we haven't been heard from yet. I want to speak to the potential of Christ within you. Your act is about to begin. You have been placed center stage, and there is a world waiting and watching for you to begin to reveal God's glory and plan in your life. You know, I love the scriptures, and it's all stories about men and women who made it. Men and women who fell and got up. Give me a sec. Men and women that have been used to bring us a picture of what Christ did in their lives. And in most cases, hopeless basket cases. Gideon, arise, mighty man of armor, of valor. Where was Gideon? Hiding. Hiding in a wine press. Scared of the circumstances. Scared of the enemy around him. Yet God looks in and declares to his future, you're a mighty man of valor. I want to declare over you this morning. You might be cowering in your present circumstance, but as God sees you this morning, you're a mighty man or woman of valor, and God has a great purpose and a great plan for your life. As you begin to step in that, you will overcome those obstacles that the enemy is placing before you. Isn't it amazing? God chooses the weak things of the world. If we had a look in the natural, we want to choose somebody to lead an army. He's got to be the biggest, the best. He's got to have all the right equipment. He's got to have all the modern mechanization and weaponry. Yet God never, ever looked at the best, the biggest, and the best equipped. He always looked to, I'm available. I'm willing. Here am I. Use me. In 2 Peter 1, verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. We need to become a people hungry for the word of God, hungry to sit in his presence, hungry to sit at his feet. And to drink and eat of the bread of life. ...2014 will usher in many changes in a lot of our lives. With each season, the Spirit will teach you many new things. Some will hear what you have learned with cheers, and others with jeers. There will be an array of charges in both the spirit changes in both the spiritual and the natural realms. After you've been established, you will see that my spirit is continually moving before you, says the Lord, stretching your faith further than ever before. He's preparing us for something so big that we'll not just hear about it, but we'll be in the middle of His resurrection power. Corinthians 1:25-27 says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise again, according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. You see, it's not about your strength. It's not about your capabilities. But it's about Christ in you. It's time to rise up with the impartation of Ezekiel to prophesy to the dry bones. For whatever seems impossible to the natural eye is now possible to access through the eye of faith and a fresh anointing. The time to access the unseen is now. I want to focus on the fact that there's a fresh anointing, a fresh mantle that is being poured out for each one of us to receive from heaven. This anointing will release life to every area that appears desolate, dry, and dead. And this anointing is also coupled with resurrection power. You see, God's releasing mantles. God's releasing new anointings. And if you're just sitting back waiting for something to happen, you're going to miss it. The wave of what God's doing, His plan, His purpose, might pass you by. There is hope because He always brings us back to us, and He can always resurrect even the driest and dreams and visions that He's given us. But there is a mantle and an anointing that is being released right now. I want to tell you that as I stand here, I have such a sense of God just saying, people here, there's a destiny on your life. That is so amazing. There is a purpose within you that you have never yet begun to think of. Yet God has planted the seed. And as you seek first the kingdom, as you wait upon Him, as you rest in Him, that seed will come to life. And you know, it's not a seed that's proportional to what happens around it, but it's a seed proportional to Christ within it. How big and how mighty and the exploits that you can do. Not based on who you are, but Christ in you. Thank you, Greg. You see, Romans 8:9-11 tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is also in us because He lives in us. I believe with certainty that we will be resurrected from the dead as Christ Himself was. But that also we have a divine power within us to resurrect dead situations, promises, and aspects of life that appear completely cut off. This is a time to begin to speak to the death in your life. The death in your family members that don't know Christ. The death in your work situation. The death in your marriage. The things that appear to be dead, but that are not. All they are waiting for is you to begin to speak a word of life into them. And this morning, that very same power of Jesus dwells in you, says, speak life. Stop aligning yourself with death. Stop aligning yourself with criticism. Stop aligning yourself with downcastedness. And begin to speak, in Christ, all things are my portion this morning. Right. Yeah. When God points out any area into which we are beginning to prophesy, He gives us power as we speak His perfect will to shift what appears impossible. Many believers have felt cut off from their future. How is that? How can we be cut off or separated from fulfilling destiny? I want to assure you, it's time to possess your prophetic promises. You have believed a lie for long enough. And this morning, I want you to say, yes, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to begin to declare life into my situations and circumstances. The time is now. For some of you, you didn't get that. The time is now. You've been waiting. You've been at some point. That point is now. It is time to arise. It is time to get out of our apathetic lifestyles, out of our sitting back and waiting, and say, you know what? Today, I'm going to do something about it. This year, this season, this week, this hour, the time is now. And we need to, as God's children, begin to arise and accomplish that which He set before us. It's all very well saying, oh, we know He's got this prophetic vision. Oh, we know it's been released in the heavens. And we'll sit back with our feet up and wait for Him to reveal it to us. Guess what? It's just gone past you. And you're still sitting with your feet up and you're still waiting. It's time to stand up and begin to grab hold of those promises. Grab hold of the Word. Grab hold of the life that is available for you. Hebrews 4. We're encouraged to mix our faith with the Word of the Lord and enter into our promised land. This promised land is a land full of promises as well as a place of rest. We know today that the New Covenant believe, as New Covenant believers, that the land is not a place of real estate. It's a place in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our promised land and our promise of rest. We rest in Him and the finished work of the cross. God is putting mantles on you to speak into your future. God is putting revelation within your spirit and your heart. But that revelation isn't just to reside silently. It needs to be spoken out. We need to begin to declare those things that God has revealed to us. We need to begin to prophesy into our futures and bring about God-ordained change, destiny, plan, and purpose this morning. Ezekiel was an example of someone who was mantled with authority to speak into a situation with the purpose of witnessing God's will to come forth. I'm going to read this just Ezekiel 36, 21 to 24. I'm not going to read, and then from verse 37, 1 to 14. God is preparing Ezekiel, and He takes him to the Valley of the Dry Bones. And from verse 37, 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out of the spirit, by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth amongst them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, O sovereign Lord, You alone know. Then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and it will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, Son of Man, and say it. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. I don't know about you, but in the natural, that would be me. Gone. I'd be heading for the hills. That would have been enough for me to do it. I would have overtaken any chariot, any Ezekiel, putting up his skirt and running. I would have been in the front. But it's about life. That God can take the very driest, most desolate thing and bring life into it. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord." There's several dimensions of the prophetic fulfillment within this, which I want to quickly look at. And we can speak, as he spoke into these, into our dry areas, our prophecies that have died, into whatever situation and circumstance you're facing. When God instructs us to prophesy the word of the Lord, the future and destiny begin to come together in order to be fulfilled. You can just stop a moment and use your imagination. Just think about it. Think about those things. As you begin to speak God's word, what is going to change? When Ezekiel prophesied God's will over those bones, the bones came together. Imagine the dry bones of your life. Imagine the dry bones of your circumstances and situations coming together, resurrected by the word of the Lord, and coming to completion. God lifed. He spoke life. He lifed the words into being. He put his very breath into those bones to which Ezekiel was prophesying. Imagine life coming to your circumstances, your situations this morning. Situations which appear dead and desolate. God is breathing life into every area of our hope into your life today. It was resurrection power released into those bones. As you prophesy into your destiny, the same power which resurrected Christ is available to you today to resurrect those areas in your life. You see, when the Lord encourages us, you can stand. It doesn't matter how bleak it looks. When you begin to understand that as He speaks, He brings about life. You're no longer cut off. Numbers 23, verse 19. We know the scripture. God is not a man that he should lie. And you know, we always take that to the literal thing of lying as a man would lie, as God would lie. I want to tell you this morning, have we ever thought about God's creative power? There's another side to it. He can never lie. Because I want to tell you, if he is something, he sees something that is dead, and he says to it, "You are alive," it is alive. If he says to a black shirt, "It is white," it is white. So he does not lie. And this morning, God would begin to speak over your life and say, the circumstances and the things in your life that are desolate are alive. There was a season of sleeping, but today I declare life into your situations and circumstances. There might have been a time where it appeared dead, but today I speak life. I speak change into it. And that which was becomes as not. And that which wasn't becomes as I declare it to be. The very same creative word is put inside your spirit and your mouth today by the power of Christ in you. I want you to change your mind till you say, "I receive the circumstance," and begin to say, "I speak God's plan and purpose from my heart into those things in your life this morning." It's a time to change. It's a time to no longer accept what we have taken as, "Oh, it's my lot." Your lot is about to change. The place you reside is about to be declared something else. the place of marriages that are broken, I want to speak change over them right now in Jesus' name. And declare life into your marriages. To declare healing into your bodies where there was sickness and disease and infirmity. Begin to work with the creative power of God's voice and God's word and God's spirit within your life to change your life today. You see, He spoke to the earth and it was. And that same creative power that God had as He was over the earth is in you today, in Him. The victory of the cross is yours this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for that creative power. Thank you, Jesus, we can speak life into every situation, life into every circumstance. I just really feel there's such an anointing to release power. If there's any of those things that you're struggling with, be it health, be it marriage, be it finance, won't you stand? I want to speak creative power. I want God to begin to speak life into your situations. And I wanted us to come forward, but as time runs out, I want us to stand. If you have any need, do you believe that God is big enough to begin to change your situation or circumstances? If so, stand up. And we want to stand with you. We want to agree with you. And we want to begin to declare God's life and power into your life this morning. You know what? It might be your mistake you made. But I want to tell you this morning, God says, I am bigger than your mistakes. I can undo that which you have done. I can bring that which is incorrect into correctness as you surrender your life to my word this morning. And Father, as each person stands, you know their heart. You know exactly where they're at. You know exactly what the challenges are. You know exactly what things have become desolate, what things have died. And this morning that you have given me a mandate to speak life into every one of those situations and circumstances. And I declare life over you this morning. Life in Jesus Christ. Life in His name. Life in His blood. Life that resurrects every dead area of your lives and brings about His plan and purpose. To every marriage, I speak life into you that is broken. Every marriage where there's separation, where there's disruption, I bind that force in Jesus' name. And I say unity and life are your portion in Jesus' name. To every infirmity that would come and speak a spirit of death, we bind that in Jesus' name. We cover it with the blood of Jesus. And we say to you this morning, you have been healed by His stripes. That we do not come before Him and plead, oh God, heal us. But we come and say, in Christ, I have been healed. In Jesus' name. And Father, to every person that is sitting in a financially distressed circumstance, we speak to that circumstance and we say, life, 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 abundant life. Life in Jesus' name. And Lord, take us to that place where we can wait on you, where we can hear your voice and we can know. Open our ears to hear your word that we can speak life into our circumstances this morning. So I thank you, Lord, that every need. You have said we are anointed to preach the good news, to bind up the brokenhearted. So I speak where there is a broken heart. I speak healing. I speak wholeness. To set the captives free where there are chains of bondage. I break those chains now in Jesus' name. By the blood of the Lamb, you have been set free. And Christ in you will take you and raise you up out of those circumstances. And the words you've received, I implore you, go back to them. Take them, read on them, meditate on them. Go back to the scripture and allow God's plan and purpose to prevail in your life through this year. 2014 will be the best year ever in Jesus' name. Amen.